The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome. This is Sovereign Mind Radio, and I'm your host, Mark Kent. We're sponsored here by North State Consultants, the best tax prep and consulting consultants in the business. Their telephone is 530-221-0101, and consultations are by appointment only. Today is November 20th. Actually, it's not. It's the 17th, and we're pre-recording this in the studio. But it will be airing, and when it airs, it will be November 20th. And so I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda Kent.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. Doing good. And you?
You know, the fun never stops. And we have our trusted man at the soundboard, Bob Martin.
Should I say good afternoon or
good evening? You might as well. And also we have a special guest with us tonight. His name is Silas Lyons, and he's from the Record Searchlight. You probably have heard of him. He's the editor, I believe. How you doing tonight, Silas?
Allegedly, I
Silas.
Am.
It's allegedly.
It's great to be here, yes. I appreciate the opportunity to come on, and looking forward to the conversation.
Very good, very good. So the chat room is probably still going to be open. There's probably not going to be anybody there.
you can chat amongst yourselves.
Anyway, I wanted to put a big shout out to Chad Raposa. I know you're doing better, Chad. Good deal. Your country, your children, and your grandchildren need you to get involved now. What's it going to take to pry your butts up off the couch? How bad does it have to get before you start doing something? This program wants to give you as many solutions as possible. You need to start by educating yourself on the issues, talk to your neighbors, go to a Tea Party meeting, check out the website, and see what you can do to protect yourself and your family from big out-of-control government. If you'd like ask any questions, you can't call in because we're not there.
At least not when you call in on Sunday. We're not going to be there. No, we're going to be at home.
Although I may not pick up the phone on Sunday night, but my phone number at the office on Monday morning is 225-8210. So if you want a one-on-one call in, I'll be there on Monday morning.
Yep, very good. Silas is we got to say he's a brave man for coming in.
I have no idea how.
Yet, it's not right? Over yet.
Just a couple of reminders here. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview Destiny Fellowship. This Monday, I'm not sure. I think who are we having on this Monday?
It is somebody from NFIB.
The National Business Independent NIFB. NIBF. What is it?
National Federation of Independent.
That's it. NFIB. Yeah.
There we go. I'm not sure exactly who the person is, but that's supposed to be who's coming in on Monday.
Very good. Very good. The Tea Party meets. They are about limited government, fiscal responsibility, adherence to the Constitution.
I missed it. All right.
Okay. I'm going to start with the first couple of quotes here before we get right to it. And so the first quote is, "The two enemies of the people are criminals and government. So let us tie the second down with the chains of the Constitution so the second will not become the legalized version of the first." That's Thomas Jefferson. And the powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Those which are to remain in state governments are numerous and infinite. So that's James Madison from the Federalist Number 45, highly suggested reading on the book list there. So what we've got here is our special guest, Silas, and we're going to start. What we'd like to do is start talking about this Defend Rural America. That's a good place to start. And, you know, I want to, you know, ask you if you understand the correlation from on Defend Rural America as far as a 10th Amendment states rights issue event. I don't know if you want, you know, if you got that or what your take is on it or what.
Sure. I mean, I certainly don't profess to be a constitutional scholar, but in terms of the 10th Amendment and the states' rights, I mean, obviously a big part of that, of what's underlying Defend Rural America and the issues that are at play in Siskiyou County right now, it has to do with the locus of control over things, whether it is at the county level, whether it's at the state level, whether it's at the federal level, and the conflicts between that, which are pretty serious, and very obviously, you know, in extremely serious ways in Siskiyou County right now, around these questions of the environment, and people's livelihoods, and their homes, and their property, and all that.
Right.
And so, I mean, do I understand that? I guess I would say that the way I understand that issue, it's not entirely a states' rights versus federal rights issue for the folks involved, because there are many people who believe that the state is also contributing to the problems that people have in Siskiyou County.
Right.
So they would probably argue that the state as well is not necessarily on their side.
Right. And I think it's a property rights issue and water rights issue as well. And I really view this as a completely historic event, because I don't remember when, if ever, that the sheriffs actually started banding together. I mean, you got like, it's up to 14 sheriffs in the Northern California area and Southern Oregon now, and it seems like it's growing. I got a story here from the Wyoming sheriffs and some other ones. So this seems like a pretty historic event. And you know, what do you think about that? I mean, as far as newsworthy, I would think that this would be a big, huge thing.
We've had, you know, I've had a number of conversations, as you know, and as I'm sure many of your listeners know, there's a lot of conversations about the coverage of this particular story and the way that the Searchlight handled it. So I want to back up, if it's all right, and kind of go through the progression the way I know it.
Sure.
We had a couple of weeks before the event itself, we had had one of the organizing folks, and to tell you the truth, I can't remember who it was, submitted something that we ran actually verbatim in the newspaper, explaining what Defend Rural America was, what this event was going to be, where it was going to be, and why people should show up for it, and that it was a really big deal. And then closer to the event itself, we assigned one of our staff members to write a story about it. What's this event going to be? Who's going to be there? And to talk about the combination of things. The sheriffs are obviously part of that. So was the documentary film. And again, here's where it is and how you can attend if you choose. And I have no way of knowing how many people may have found out about it, even through our coverage. But, you know, when we look at events, and to be perfectly honest with you, I've had this conversation with folks about the symphony, about other things as well, where, you know, they'll say, what, you know, why didn't you have a reporter at the event? And in many cases, our first priority when we come into something is, let's be sure we advance big events that are happening so that people know ahead of time, because the biggest thing, you know, with an event is to actually be there and to attend it.
Right.
So then there's the question of, well, shouldn't you have covered it anyway? We had it, and we had a photographer there, which complicated the matter, because the photographer was working on this longer term story that was already underway. So we had already had plans to do a story on a Sunday, a big story about what was happening in Siskiyou County and the larger issues, the combination of the dam removal issues, the coho salmon issues, the Scott Valley and the Shasta Valley. So we had a photographer up there, but we didn't have a reporter. It's on a weekend. We have one reporter on each day on the weekend, and we tend to keep him down here closer to the office. And so we didn't cover it. You know, was that the right decision in retrospect? I guess I would have had to bring somebody else on probably in overtime to do it because I won't, you know, we can't leave this part of our coverage area.
Right.
It's a practical consideration. Should we have done it under the circumstances? Perhaps we should have. We didn't. But our intention all along was that that really, in looking at this issue, we were covering the issue rather than the event. And I think ultimately we can get into some of the questions that came up with the coverage and the stories that Ryan Sabolo wrote. But I think one of the key things that I saw where I felt like, you know, when I was talking to people who were upset with the way we covered it, a lot of it was I was viewing it as us covering the issue. They were viewing it as our coverage of the event. And okay.
Let me cut you off there a little bit, Silas, and we're going to go to a break and then hold that thought and we'll come right back with it. All right, this is Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire Media. We'll be right back.
The holidays at the Riverfront Playhouse with the classic Christmas play It's a Wonderful Life. This faithful adaptation has all your favorite characters, George and Mary Bailey, Clarence, Uncle Billy, Violet, and of course, the Scrooge-like villain, Mr. Potter. Opens November 19th and runs through December 17th. Shows are Friday and Saturday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday matinees at 2 p.m. Please note our new ticket outlet is the Cascade Theater. Tickets can be purchased at the Cascade Theater box office on Market Street in Reading or online at cascadetheater.org or riverfrontplayhouse.net.
Here's a bell. Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Joe, what's new at Adamson's Peak Performance?
Wow, Linda, how much time do you have?
Oh.
We recently launched the Skinny Jeans Challenge, a women's small group personal training program now in its sixth week. Some of the women have dropped a full jean size just in the first month. That program inspired us to launch a similar program using the personal training model. We're calling it the New Body 180 because you're going to look and feel like you have a new body as you make a 180-degree change of direction in your health and fitness. The New Body 180 is a complete program. Just follow the exercise and nutrition guidelines laid out for you by your personal trainer, and you can radically reshape your body in just 4 months.
Well, who is the ideal person for this program?
Someone who feels frustrated. We'll give them a fresh start and a strategy that works.
Now, how do our listeners find out more?
Hey, just call Steve at Adamson's Peak Performance, 221-8006. We offer free consultations. You can also go to our website at adamsonspeakperformance.com.
Trying to get my courage up.
We are back. Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460 KCNR. Home of the Free Fire Media. Before we get back at it here, I have a story here. You know, the hot off the press thing. This was today, November 17th. You're hearing this on the 20th. And this just came in, and this is with regards to the story we've been following on the MF Global collapse. And this is from Zero Hedge. And it's interesting that what has happened is that this is a person named Tyler Durden, and he it's posted by Ann Bernhardt, and she runs Barnhart Capital Management, and it's an independent brokerage that has been in business 8 years or so and so forth, and she's been in the business for a long time. And she's saying that she's no longer going to operate her business because she can no longer tell her clients that their monies and positions are safe in futures and option markets because they are not. It seems that the confidence in the system has pretty much evaporated at this point because of the fact that the money that was taken out of the investors' accounts to the tune of $600 million and, has ended up somehow in J.P. Morgan Chase's accounts is the story. And so there's a systemic problem in the system is what she's saying, and that all futures option markets are no longer viable. It's her recommendation that all customers withdraw from all the markets as soon as possible, so that they have the best chance of protecting themselves and their equity. This goes back to a story I heard today, as far as Gerald Celeni as well. They've frozen all of his accounts, and he's been trading for 30 years in the commodities markets. And finally, what she's saying is, she will not under any circumstances consider reforming or reopening her business, her brokerage business, until Barack Obama has been removed from office and the government of the United States has been sufficiently reformed and repopulated so as to engender her confidence in the government, its adherence to the enforcement of the rule of law, and its competent and just oversight of the regulatory agencies and of these commodities. So she's pretty up in arms about this. And this is a criminal act, is what is the deal. And I've also gotten word that there's been a three-year investigation of J.P. Morgan for market manipulation, and this seems like this is starting to explode. So hold on and stay tuned. This could get real ugly before it gets resolved. So anyway, with back that, let's get back to our guest, Silas. Where were we? The segue, you know, we go from, you know, the world exploding and, you know, we're back here on local politics.
We were talking about the tremendous value of a subscription to the Record Searchlight, I think.
Well, speaking of the Record Searchlight, I was a little bit, I thought your comment about, you know, the symposium or the symphony was a little bit, I don't know, flippant, disingenuous, because, you know, I mean, you can't put that on the same scale as the meeting of 14 sheriffs, you know, with the theme of protecting the people from the overreach of the federal government. You know, I mean, that just, I mean, there's no comparison in the amount of importance that those two things have in difference. And the other thing that I would like you to address is, why did it take so long to do the story after the event? I don't think it came out in the paper for 2 weeks, and then it was in the 2 weeks later in the Sunday paper. So maybe you can address those.
Sure. I on the first one, the point I'm making there is really just about the way that we approach coverage as a whole. And I compare that just for the sake of saying that it's an issue that comes up for us on more issues than one. And certainly not, you know, trying to create a weighing system there for how important, these events may be, but just to say that our bias in coverage tends to be to cover things as much as possible in advance if they're going to be events, to make sure that people know about them and can attend. And if we have to, you know, if we have to spread our own resources and make decisions, we try to front load those resources to get people the information to attend the event.
I see. Okay. You got a question, Sis?
Yeah, I do have a couple of questions for him.
Can I take just real quickly before that, though?
Sure.
Can I take the second part of your question as well, which was about the delay
from the event to when
it ran in the paper? And just to sort of go back to the fact that for us, what ran in the paper wasn't event coverage. It was issue coverage, and it was a much larger story about the broad issues that are affecting Siskiyou County right now, and all of the players in that. The event was an important part of that, and it certainly was a point where a lot of very important players came together. And it played prominently in the stories. But our intention, and this is why, you know, why the delay and why the way that the stories were written.
Right.
Our intention was to cover the issue more than the event.
Okay. And I get that. I think that the coverage was biased in a lot of ways. And the reason I say that is that there was a lot of facts that were not generated out of that coverage. You know, it was more, in my opinion, again, totally slanted towards the environmental side of the issue as opposed to the property owner side of the issue and their ranches. And just to name one thing that comes off the top of my head is the fact that there's money involved in the people downriver from the federal government. They have a dog in the hunt in that they are basically being bribed to go along with the federal government. I mean, when you're going to receive, you know,
2.2 million?
Yeah, and I haven't been able to verify all those figures exactly. I'm still working on that, but I do have something out of the agreement. And so well, let's just say 2.2 until we can figure out whether it's less or whatever.
Okay.
But $2.2 billion that is going to go to these people so that they will go along with taking out the dams. And that never enters into the story. I mean, so what I'm saying is it seems like the coverage was kind of skewed here a little bit.
Yeah, I will accept that as a statement, I guess, rather than a question. I've said this, and certainly, you know, as I was saying to you off the air earlier, I think it's very important for us to be accountable and for us to show up and hear, hear when people feel like we've been biased in our coverage. I think that my experience has been looking back at coverage of our own and other people's. It's almost always possible to find the flaws in that coverage. The question I ask myself is, are we being fair to the best of our abilities? In this particular case, when I go back and look at those stories and the voices that were reflected in them from the sides of the issues, I felt that we were. That's my stand on it, certainly.
But the voices were only reflected from one side because they didn't even interview the side of the defending rural America guys. I mean, he didn't.
Actually, I respectfully would disagree with that. There were a number of folks that were quoted in those stories who were associated with Defend Rural America or even involved in leadership of it. I mean, Sheriff Lopey certainly being he was
quoted as stirring up trouble as opposed to what was actually happening at the meeting. And so I there's no way that I can agree with you that that was unbiased coverage because of the way the media story read. The whole headline and the theme of it was that the sheriffs are stirring up trouble up there in Siskiyou County, not the fact that they were protecting property rights for ranchers and their water rights for the property owners up there. So it got completely sidetracked into an issue that wasn't even what the meeting was actually about, and there was no interviews done at the meeting.
Yeah, I mean, as far as interviews at the meeting, I guess I'd go back to the fact that we weren't trying to cover it as an event in that series of stories. That wasn't at all part of our thinking.
Right, and that brings me to some of my questions. I've had a lot of people coming up to me and asking me, well, like, who decides what goes in the paper and what information, you know, is published in the paper, and back again to only, like, if nobody was there covering the event, how could you publish certain parts of it in regards to the event if nobody was actually interviewing the people up there? So that was some of the questions I have coming in from people.
Sure. So, I mean, in terms of how we decide what's covered in the paper, the process is fairly long, but a lot of it starts with beat reporting and the way that we divide up the staff that we have, the reporters that we have. So many of them are assigned to specific areas, and that could be somebody covers the city of Reading, or they cover the county of Shasta, or they cover environmental and resource issues, that sort of thing. Reporters are responsible for being the primary source of that on their own beats, bringing things forward. Obviously, there are a lot of other ways that we get information. We make judgment calls all the time, and we would have one of our main purposes in life is to make judgment calls about what is, you know, what to put our attention on. And we really look at what's local, what's going to have an impact on local folks, and areas where it matters for people to get involved. But also, we spend a lot of time covering good things happening in the community. We cover a lot of, the things that happen whether it's fundraisers, that sort of thing. So it's really,
but this is a pretty big there's not a
specific sort of set of ingredients. I will tell you that just as a practical matter, I mean, again, this is in Siskiyou County. We cover Siskiyou County the best we can. We do not have any bureaus up there. And so each time we cover it, we have to send a reporter away from Reading and up there. And on the weekends with one reporter on shift, that's something that, you know, you got to backfill that person. You can't just send them off because something big could happen down here.
Well, and I think the big issue there, too, as far as it being in Siskiyou County, is that this is, you know, from all accounts that I've looked at, a test ground. And if they remove the dams in Siskiyou County, then they're going to be looking at removing the dams in all of the rest of the state's counties, whether it's Del Norte or wherever the dams are at.
Well, yeah, they're
Shasta.
Starting to happen across the country too. It's not just
they've already blown a couple
Northern
of dams
California.
Up in Washington. I don't remember, it begins with a C, which dam that was, but. You know, that does come to the issue there on that, is that the other side of the issue here is that blowing the dams is not necessarily going to be good for the fish because of the sediment and what's coming out of the dams. And, you know, I was looking at the purpose of this whole project is supposed to be to, you know, I'm reading right out of it. This is the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement for the sustainability of the public trust and resources in affected communities. And it says the goals of this agreement is intended to result in an effective and durable solutions which restore and sustain natural production and provide for full participation in harvest opportunities of fish species throughout the Klamath Basin, establish reliable water and power supplies. And that one right there is, establish reliable and water and power supplies, which sustain agricultural uses and communities in the National Wildlife Refuge, which they haven't got there yet. But how can it be that they're talking about sustainable water and power? How are you going to have sustainable water and power if you blow the dams? Where's the power coming from? You know, and so I just think that the issues are not being covered here as far as, you know, the agreement, what it does, what the alternatives are. It seems like they're really hell-bent on blowing the dam up there for whatever reason and not necessarily looking at all of the other viable alternatives. And there's quite a few that haven't been even addressed. So, you know, I didn't see that in the coverage either. So I think that's why people are getting a little up in arms about the, you know, what they're considering the one-sided viewpoint here.
Okay. Yeah, we'll pick it back up on the other side.
Okay, very good. We're going to go to a break now. Go ahead, Bob. It's this is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, home of the Free Fire Media.
My walk had purpose. My steps were quick and light. And I held firm to what I felt was right. Like a rock, like a rock, I was strong as I could be.
It's time for R&B Shopping and Sales Poetry Theater. Now here's Bob with Ode to an Edge, Celebrity Voice Impersonations.
Bob and Judy, are we keeping things sharp at R&B? When you go to trim your hedge, are your shears without an edge? Does your saw blade reject a woodworking project? Do you use your knife twice when you slice and dice? Set aside intrepidation and fears. We're the ones who have honed your shears, along with blades, bits, and knives, because with every edge, we're wise. We'll send you along with the keenest edges, and you'll say no one else can sharpen like we. That's Bob and Judy at R&B.
R&B Sharpening and Sales Poetry Theater was brought to you by R&B Sharpening and Sales off Highway 273 in Anderson, just north of UPS, next door to Mundina's Cabinets. Visit R&B Sharpening and Sales on the web at bandsaw-blades.com.
Stop me soon before I get old and get me out of this rhyming mode.
Have you been thinking about installing solar power system for your home or office? Maybe you looked into solar power a couple of years ago and thought it was way too expensive. Hi, I'm Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables, and I have great news. The cost of a solar power system has dropped dramatically in the last 2 years, and the federal tax credits have increased to 30% of the cost of a system. Now is a great time to give solar a closer look. The news is full of warnings about the cost of energy going up soon, and the best way to keep your cost of energy cheap and stable is installing solar power. If you talk to us, we answer all of your questions, explain how solar works, and how it will affect your monthly bill. For a free in-home consultation, please give us a call, 524-9652, or email Dennis at westcoastsustainables.com.
I'm Dave.
I'm Ernie. Do you have something you want to buy, sell, or trade?
Then you should join us on Let's Sell It with Ernie and Dave.
Call us Saturday mornings, 7 to 8 on KCNR 1460.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies, tell me lies. Oh, no, no, you can't disguise. You can't disguise. Can't disguise. Tell me lies.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire. And we're here in the studio, and we're talking sustainable development. We're talking dams blowing up and,
Coho fish.
Coho fish that you can't buy at Costco.
And sweet and sweet little lies. Am I supposed to take the bumper music personally?
No, not at all.
We're just having a good time.
It's
a very good selection, actually. Look, Bob is...
Look on the bright side, Silas. I could have played Anne Marie's A Little Good News.
I'm glad you've got my back, Bob.
Okay, here we go. Well, we got to admire you. You're in the kitchen taking the heat. So,
it's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been fun, actually. Okay, this is from Sally Raposa. This is a letter she wrote that was published in the Record Searchlight. And it's entitled Tell the Rest of the Story, Sally Raposa. After reading Sunday's front page article, Who Owns the Water, I'm compelled to write the rest of the story. None of the scientific facts from the hour and a half video were highlighted, such as dam removals will release 22 million cubic yards of sediment down the river, creating a significant environmental damage, or that the dams provide cheap, clean, green, renewable hydroelectric energy to over 70,000 homes. No compromises were explored, like proposing fish bypass tunnels, which are estimated to cost less than 2% of a dam removal. No mention of that the dam removers will get $2.2 billion from the taxpayers for restoration. They have everything to gain and nothing to lose. There's no mention of the businesses along the river, like the Fish Hook Inn and the RV park, that will have no water part of the year and will be flooded out other years. That's another good point on the dams. I mean, they were set there for flood control as well. And so, keep continuing here. There are no personal stories of the farmers and the ranchers whose land has been in the family for generations. Without water or cheap power, their land becomes unproductive, unusable, and unsellable. What would compel 12 sheriffs, and yes, four more have come on board, to band together to fight against all enemies, foreign and domestic? You see, this is not really about the fish. The coho salmon are just the next spotted owl, an environmental excuse to kill the economy, devastate all industry, and reclaim the land. Siskiyou County is just the starting place. Shasta, Trinity, Tehama, and Lassen counties are also on the agenda. If you think this is just a fish tale, Google Agenda 21 and the Wildlands Project. So, I mean, what's your response to that, Silas?
Well, I like Sally, and I think that she, I think that, like you're doing, I mean, I think she takes it pretty seriously to hold us accountable for the way we cover the news, I think that it's a sign of the fact that we respect that we run our letter
right.
in the paper.
I agree. I wrote a letter, too, and you ran it as well. So, you know, I mean, it's not all bad here. And it's not like, you know, punch the Silas bag thing here. As much as we are trying to hold everybody accountable, because this is important. And over the long haul, we need to address these issues on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, we need to get the truth out on both sides, whatever that is.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think if I'm reading Sally's letter correctly, and I haven't spoken with her since we ran it, so I may not be, but I mean, one of the things that I see her saying that she really feels like we should do is to go back to the underlying questions about the dam removal and do a more detailed study of that.
Right.
And you know, just like that wasn't a story about the event, it also wasn't a story that tried to go all the way back to that issue of dam removal, which we've covered now over the past number of years as it's been coming up to this point. So one of the things I hear in there is a challenge for us to maybe go back and do some additional work on that, which I think would again result in us, we would come out of that with more of the sorts of things she's talking about. If we were to do it, we would also come out of it with more of the arguments from the other side and from the Kuruk tribe and from the environmental groups and the people who are arguing in favor of the dam removal. And so, is that something that we should? Is that a challenge we should take up? I certainly am willing to consider it.
It's something to think about, too. And I also think the other part that is kind of being overlooked here is the fact that, you know, is this an excuse to take over the land, to kill the economy? If you look at what's been happening in the environmental movement, that's what it's become. If you go and do Google and look into Agenda 21 and start to find that there's correlations between this UN charter and the sustainable development that's being implemented in our country, across the board, you start to realize that there's a connection here. And the connection is that we start becoming under some kind of a world governing authority. And, you know, there's some goals there that if you look at that, starts to scare the bejeebus out of you, because what the heck's going on? Have we got a group of people that are getting rid of our sovereignty through the environmental movement? I think you'll find that that might be a possibility.
And, you know, without getting into whether Agenda 21 is actually that, is trying to do that. And I've already had the conversation with the editors who work for me that issue, that question of whether this is really a fight about the continued population of rural America has become very important in this debate. And I've certainly personally heard it several times over the past couple of weeks. And so we've already talked about the fact that that's a piece of this that we have to start covering.
I agree.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we need to go back to the people. The people up there in Siskiyou County need to have more of their voice heard and let people know out there what is going on with their property, what they do stand to lose, and you know, how it's going to take away from their survival up there.
Not only
at
that,
the rate that they're going up there with these people, because they're trampling all over them up there.
Well, and to do it in a truthful way, to where we're not pulling
Correct.
Any punches on either side of the aisle.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm looking for, because I'm sure that the farmers and the ranchers are not saints of angelic, not everything's going to be perfect on their side, but at the same time, their side's not being told.
They're not being heard at all, and I think that that needs to be brought out to the mainstream public.
Right.
And when you say heard, I mean, I'm assuming that you also mean to tell their story. Certainly we've quoted
right.
them, but your challenge to me, if I'm hearing it correctly, is you need to tell their story. You
right.
need to talk
yeah.
more about how this impacts their lives.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
And also impacts our lives, because what happens is as you start to make it so difficult for the farmers and the ranchers to make it, what's going to happen to us as a sustainable, where's our food going to come from after a while? I mean, look what's happened in the San Joaquin Valley. We're already importing a third of our food now from sources outside the United States, and used to be the breadbasket. So these regulations are strangling our farmers and our ranchers to the point where, you know, at some point in time, it's going to be a real issue on food production as well. So that's another issue.
Yeah, there's a real big picture here
that
we need to get out to the public and let them know what's going on.
Well, and again, I got to talk about the KRA thing. And I have no dog in the hunt on this, because I'm related to a bunch of the guys downriver. I married into them. My wife is quarter
Shasta,
my stepson is almost full-blooded KRA Indian. My cousins, you ask anybody up in the tribe, they all know me. So I actually went to high school in Happy Camp. So I'm pretty familiar with the area.
Right.
And, you know, I also know that down the river that, you know, for years they've been gillnetting the fish. Now, it used to be at Ishipishi Falls, they would dip them with nets. And that was the traditional way that the Indians would catch the fish. Well, they started gillnetting about 20, 30 years ago, and then when you gillnet fish, you string a gillnet across the river entirely, and you catch everything and nothing gets through. And so there's also some responsibility. There's no oversight. There's no overwatch of what they're doing down the river as far as harvesting the salmon as well. And that's been common knowledge down the river for 30 years.
Easy. Easy.
See, and that doesn't seem to get picked up, because that's kind of politically incorrect, because we've got a minority here, you know, we're looking at what happened to them 100 years ago, and somehow they get a pass, but that's not right either. So, you know, that's and again, like I say, I went to high school in Happy Camp, and I grew up.
Certainly what I would agree with you there is that the actions of the tribe are absolutely part of the overall story.
Absolutely.
Whether for
yes.
bad, and certainly their status as a tribe doesn't change that one way or another. They're very much active in the politics of this, and that puts them right in the middle, middle
puts
of the
them right in the middle of the deal. Yep. And also they're dependent on the government for a lot of what, you know, their money, their grants, the tribal stuff. And that also kind of puts them in a bad position, because when you're dependent on government, you have a tendency to agree with them a lot more. It's like if you got all your money for your living from the government, and I'm not saying every one of them does, but I also know for a fact they get huge grants. And I actually used to do some of the bookkeeping for a couple of one of the tribes in the region. I'm not going to say who. And so, you know, there's some problems with them being dependent on the government as well. Because who are you going to agree with? The guy that you're going to disagree with the people that are not paying you anything, or are you going to agree with the guy that's handing you all the checks?
Yeah, and you have to remember right now, a lot of those people are having it real tough.
All of them.
Yeah, that they're on the government dole, so to speak, and getting entitlements, a lot of them. Yeah, they're still having it rough, and they're not going to look at the big picture if a big pot of money sitting in front of them.
Yeah, I think everybody needs to be more self-reliant, period, and we could go into that.
Like I said, I can speak for the paper here. I'm not on the payroll.
We're going to go to a break here, guys, and we'll be right back. This is 1460 KCNR, Shasta Redding, home of the Free Fire Media. We'll be right back.
Theodore Roosevelt once said, "The highest form of success comes not to the man who desires a mere easy peace, but to the man who does not shrink from danger, from hardship, or from bitter toil, and who, out of these, wins the splendid ultimate triumph." Our success in life depends on the words we choose to live by, and even Mark Twain considered Theodore Roosevelt to be straightforward and sincere. This summer, Five Star Bank has been recognized as the Small Business Administration Lender of the Year for the 21 counties of the Great North Valley. Five Star Bank specializes in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star can be counted on to be at the forefront, helping entrepreneurs build their business and create jobs. Believe in Five Star Bank. Smart people doing good business. If your time is as valuable as your success, visit us at Five Star Bank. Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call 223-6652. Online, fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Like your turkey deep fried? Well, just for the holidays, you can take the unused cooking oil to the City of Reading Household Hazardous Waste Facility. Don't pour the oil down the drain or put it in the trash. Pour the cooled oil back in the jugs it came in and take it to the City of Reading Transfer Station at 2255 Abernathy Lane. They can take cooking oil Tuesday through Saturday between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. through January 15th. For more information, you can call 224-6201. And enjoy that turkey.
Hey, Rick, what are you doing?
Howdy, neighbor. Blowing my leaves into the storm drain.
Well, that's the wrong way to get rid of them.
All the neighbors do it. No one's going to care.
Well, no one except for the person that has to unclog the storm drain.
Oh.
Dumping or blowing your leaves in the street will plug our storm drains and can cause flooding when it rains.
How'd you get so smart?
It's true. Leaves and debris plug the storm drains. Pick them up and put them in the green waste bin. This is a public service announcement from Reading Public Works.
Let the good times roll. Yes, KCNR, 1460, home of the Free Fire Media. And this is Sovereign Minds, and I'm your host, Mark Kent. One little short story before we get back at it. This is from Wealth Cycles. This is Mike Maloney and the Wealth Cycles team. This was created on 11-14 of 2011. And it's titled, Lead Us Not Into Temptation. 60 Minutes just released a segment that is getting a lot of heat, no doubt due to the fact that it targets high-ranking members of Congress. In short, the report says Congress members have the ability to trade off insider information and that this insider, and it's not illegal. Anybody else that would do this would be going to jail. You know, any insider trading is highly illegal. You know, we all know about the Martha.
There's been a lot of people prosecuted for that.
Yeah. I'm thinking Martha Stewart, if I could get it out, is one of the best known examples. But, you know, it's obvious that the Congress is more and more exempting themselves from the law. And that is a real problem. And I'm going to read this part of the article. It says, if men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. In framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself. A dependency on the people is no doubt the primary control on the government, but experience has taught mankind the necessity of auxiliary precautions. In other words, you know, we're supposed to keep these guys in check. That's part of the deal. And this is James Madison's from the Federalist Papers 51. You know, so what's happened is over time, we've let these guys just get more and more and more separation from us as individuals and not exempt and exempting themselves from laws that everybody else is subject to. It's a real problem. So I just had to read that. For whatever that's worth, and
I love that, and partly because, of course, it's part of the purpose for having a free press and a democracy is that you have to have the ability of people to understand what their government's doing. And it's part of the reason we have conversations like this, because the free press has got to be doing its job in order for the people to do their job. So, that's why I think this is important. And you know, speaking of exempting themselves, California legislature exempts itself from the Public Records Act.
I know.
You give them a chance, they'll do it. So.
It's getting to the point where these guys are turning into criminals. I mean, it really is. Who's watching the watcher is the old saying from the Roman Empire, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's getting to, is that if you start analyzing the perks, the money, everything that these guys are doing, exempting themselves from trading laws, they come out of Congress absolutely off the charts rich. You know, they go in a mere congressman from Podunk, you know, someplace in Indiana or something, and they come out, you know, a multimillionaire. And there's a reason for this, because of these kind of laws and these kind of exemptions. They exempt themselves from health care. I mean, it's just off the charts. Anyway, I'm ranting. I'm going to stop. Let's get back on track here.
I think we have a few more questions.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure you do, so go ahead.
Well, one of the questions people have come to me about in regards to what we've been speaking about is determining how long an article is and how you guys judge that, or if there's set guidelines that, you know, we get three articles on this page and they can only be so long. And so that was one of the questions I wanted you to
address.
I'm
going to add to that question so we get it all out at once.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, according to what we've heard information, and, you know, I'll quote the sources, Aaron Ryan from the Tea Party, saying that when she talked to Ryan, that he based his fairness on the length of the columns, which seems so ridiculous. I'm not going to go there. But how do you address all of that anyway, Silas?
To Ryan Sabalow is who she's
correct.
Referring
correct.
To,
yes.
The reporter wrote that story. The first thing I'll say is as far as the way that we put stories into the paper, there are a couple of basic principles. Number one is local news. So if you look at the search line on any given day, a good day is when I don't have room on the front page for anything from the Associated Press.
I
know why you're laughing, but for me it's really an issue of local versus non-local news. The only reason for us to exist and not to be the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times or anything else is if we cover local news. Secondly, yes, I mean, to your point, actually there are some really practical things. Every single front page of the Record Searchlight, for as long as I can think of, has had a picture on it. So we always have to have a story with a picture. Same thing with the local front. There's always a story with a picture, or at least a picture standing by itself. There's usually four stories or so on those pages. So there are some things like that. The best way really to see it in action is we've invited anybody who wants to come in to our news meetings. and sit in with us in the afternoon when we make those decisions, and just listen to the conversation, because we're more than happy to do it. I usually ask people to come in for a week if they can, so they can kind of see it over.
So yeah,
days.
Don't just get a dust.
But yeah, but I mean, and again, my direct line is 225-8210, and if anybody wants to come in and observe that process. We're pretty transparent about it, but it really is that. As far as like topics, like do we do different links for different topics? No, not really.
Yeah,
it's really based on the story itself and how much room it takes to tell that story.
Well, the picture thing kind of brought up an issue while I was thinking about it. The picture that was taken of the Defend Rural America was a picture of the front row looking at the stage, and there's like three people there when there was. I've heard two or three different numbers from 800 to 1,100 people there at this meeting. Mm-hmm. So the picture did not show at all the how many people were at this meeting. They filled up the whole building up there at the Siskiyou County Fairgrounds. And so, you know, that wasn't, it was kind of like there's like, when you look at the picture, it's like there's three people there standing by the sheriff. And, you know, so it didn't give the breath. So that kind of had a few other people sort of ticked off about that as well.
News photographers have a serious bias. You know what it is? News photographers are all about the moment, and they like the tight pictures where you can see people's expressions a lot better than they like the far back pictures where you see a whole bunch of heads. You know, whether that's something that should have been in there for context. I mean, I'll hear that. That's
more what I was thinking of in context of, you know, if there's three people at an event like this, it doesn't carry nearly as much weight as if there's 1,000 people at this.
The size
event.
Of the size of that event was relevant. I wouldn't argue one bit with you. As far as Erin's point about you know that Ryan had told her that if you measured the stories, they'd come out the same. For one, I think I don't know that Ryan had even measured it when he said that to her.
But I don't know.
He had the confidence that basically what his point was that. He made a real good faith effort, and I think he succeeded in it to talk to people on both sides of that issue, and so you know, I don't know how it came out, and certainly I hope Erin didn't take it too badly, but I think his point was that he had tried to represent both sides with a pretty even-handed amount of space in his story.
Obviously, there's a lot of people that disagree.
That disagree. I hear that. I hear you.
Yeah.
There seems to be a problem.
Yeah.
With it.
Yeah. I mean, beat the messenger. Well, how's that saying go? We're not going to kill the
shoot.
Messenger.
Shoot. Yeah. Shoot the messenger. Yes. Yes.
At least not today.
I'm glad we haven't been talking about the Second Amendment here.
Yeah, that's on another day. We'll have you back for the Second Amendment issues, you know. Oh, boy. At least we can have some fun with this.
Absolutely.
Anyway. Yeah. So what do you know about Agenda 21? Are you familiar with it at all? I mean,
to the extent that the United Nations would tell you that Agenda 21 is something that traces back to, you know, on the American side, the George Herbert Walker Bush administration and their sort of collective decision to set these particular goals and priorities.
Doesn't it go all the way
I'm
back to the Kyoto
super,
Treaty? I think it goes all the way back to the Kyoto Treaty. And
I want to say it's Rio, but I'm no expert on it. I do know that, you know, in the context of the conversation, the things that we're covering right now, for a lot of folks, especially with Defend Rural America and with that perspective on this thing, that it really is more about whether or not there are folks out there who would like to run rural residents out of rural areas in America so that they could basically return to a wildland state. To me, that is important just in the sense that it has become a very important part of the debate. And
right.
So, as I said, the conversation I had with our editors was we need to start covering that piece of the debate.
And that
perspective on it, whether, you know, there'll be people who will say that's complete nonsense. It's paranoia. It's this or it's that or there, you know, but regardless, it's an important piece of this debate that is.
Well,
that
and
is
there's
emerged.
Facts to back that up, whether it's paranoia or not. I mean, the old saying goes, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean nobody's after me, you know. And so if you look at the maps of the federal government land,
that is, you know, that the federal government owns, and you start putting together the monument pieces, it starts getting scary because they start owning a lot more property than they were ever designed to. In fact, you know, you put these monuments in place that they're talking about, the Siski Crest Monument, that's like 600 million acres. Where does it stop to be a land grab and they start pushing people into the cities? So with that, we're kind of running out of time here. Let me get a couple quotes in here, and then I'll give you all the last word. As they say, I hate to say on Fox because I'm not really a big fan of Fox, but there are some good news stations out there all across the board, maybe. So the closing quotes that I have here is the one is, I consider the foundation of the Constitution as laid on this ground, that all the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states and the people. That's the Tenth Amendment, obviously. To take a single step beyond the boundaries thus specifically drawn around the powers of Congress is to take possession of a boundless field of power no longer susceptible of any definition. And that's Thomas Jefferson on the National Bank Opinion in 1791. So there's a real problem there. I always like the George Washington, government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You guys got anything to add? We're down to 1 minute here. You better hurry up.
Well, I like Thomas Jefferson and George Washington.
Well, I want to thank our guests for coming in today and speaking with us and going over this subject. Thanks,
absolutely.
Silas.
Well, I want to thank both of you for having me. And
very good.
And it's been a good conversation. I appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I guess we'll see y'all next week if we don't see you at a tea party.
Tea party Monday night, 2570 Bonneview, Destiny Baptist Church.
All right. Very good. Yeah. All right.
We'll see you then.
Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
You can't fake it. Freedom is the only song. Sing a song for me. Oh, we're gonna make it.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR, Shasta.